Good morning. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that my wife and I spent a week in Colombia visiting some dear friends of ours, and so it was a great trip, but on the way back, at some point, one of the food items that I ate at the airport didn't quite agree with me. So I have a little dash of food poisoning, I think, and so I'm feeling weak. But praise the Lord that for any lack of energy I have, for any weakness I feel, the Word and Christ crucified is the power of God, and it's not anything in my ability to preach. But what is wisdom? Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2 if you haven't already, and I'll start reading in verse 1 to recall what you guys heard last week. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we've been given a gospel that is beautiful by itself, a gospel through which we can understand everything in God's creation, a gospel that is powerful through weak preachers, and a gospel that is not powerful due to anything that I say or any wisdom I claim to have. But that gospel is applied through the work of the Spirit in our lives and in the Spirit alone. My wisdom is worth nothing. This truth you've heard and rejoiced in since last Sunday, it's not the power of men that change hearts, it is not the cleverness of speech or looks or talent or this pulpit, but it is the Spirit of God through the Word of God applied in your lives. So that, verse 5, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So not the wisdom of man, so we can understand that there is something to be understood as false wisdom, right? The wisdom of men. But is there other wisdom? Start reading in verses 6 and 7 with me. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, Paul speaking of himself and his colleagues. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Yet we, Paul and the apostles, do impart wisdom. So what is this true wisdom to contrast with the false wisdom of men? Recall with me and read. You can flip back a page in chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, those who are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Consider this, brother, sister, and be encouraged in your souls. Henry and Carolina can understand Christ and Christ crucified. But man for 2,000 years hasn't been able to exhaust Christ and Christ crucified. What is the secret wisdom of God decreed before the ages for our glory? It was Jesus Christ slain before the foundations of the earth. Jesus Christ himself is the power and wisdom of God. That brings us to our theme. The mature and spiritual man abides in the power and wisdom of God by the Spirit of God. But that begs two questions. Who are the mature and who are the spiritual? Pray with me. Father, you never change. From age to age, you are faithful to your promises, and you love to pour out generous blessings on your children. Like a good earthly father, you enjoy giving good gifts to those you love, and we have so much to be thankful for. We know that we are safe in your love because your kindness to us does not depend on our faithfulness to you. We praise you, Lord, because you raise up the poor and the needy, and as spiritually poor and needy people, we need your constant care and attention. Father, be with us this morning. Convict us by your word as I preach this morning, myself included. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we get to pray. Amen. So who are the mature? Read verses 2 through 6, or chapter 2, verses 6 through 9 with me. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Consider this. The mature demonstrates wisdom in his understanding of the gospel. The mature demonstrates his wisdom and his understanding of the gospel. It doesn't get any more basic than that, right? Every scrap of wisdom you have, if it is true wisdom, it is rooted and founded upon the grand drama of creation, the kingdom of God, the wedding feast, Christ slain before the foundations of the earth, the decree of the Father, the seal of the Spirit, the good news of Jesus Christ. Until you can explain the gospel, what hope does anyone have that you have any wisdom to share? So if I ask someone sometime after I preach this morning, what is the gospel? What is the good news of Jesus? Would you have an answer? Now I'm setting myself up to have everyone trample over each other to try to get out of here after the sermon this morning. But consider, evaluate yourself. If you don't know what the gospel, if you can't explain to me what the gospel is, then do you truly understand it? Every teacher that I've ever had ever has told me that if you can't explain it, then you don't know it. So don't let that set you into despair this morning. But rather, if you can't articulate the gospel, that's fine. But seek someone out to give you the equipment you need to be able to explain the gospel clearly. Because part of the gospel that you struggle to explain this morning is that grace is extended to you, that you can today be wiped away of all of your failings to explain the gospel for your entire life, no matter how old you are. And you can today start proclaiming Christ to to a lost world. The mature demonstrates wisdom in his understanding of the gospel. Again, our theme, the mature and spiritual man abides in the power and wisdom of God by the Spirit of God. But who are the mature? Our next sub-point, the mature demonstrates his understanding in his actions. What is the real test of someone understanding the gospel than that of their actions, right? Understanding begets actions, always. If you understand, any action you take is propelled, it is forced through some beliefs that you have. You sitting in that pew this morning is out of the belief that it will hold you up. If you did not believe that that pew would hold you, would you have sat in it? No. If I didn't believe that that plane would have safely gotten me and my family back from Colombia to the United States, would I have gotten on it? No. Belief begets action. And so we can look at actions and get an understanding of what someone believes. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this morning, I ask you to examine your hearts. Look at the past week. What would your actions tell yourself, tell your family, tell your friends, tell the lost world? What would they tell everyone what you believe? Honestly, as I wrote this manuscript and tweaked it throughout the past few weeks, I considered my own life and I discovered immaturity in my personal time with the Lord, immaturity in the quality time with my family, immaturity where I seek my comfort during stress. My actions demonstrate that at least in those times of failure, that I didn't understand or believe that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places has been poured out on me by Christ, applied through the Spirit. Maybe some of us are putting our faith in our chosen political party, appointing a Supreme Court judge to save America rather than trusting Christ to save. Maybe we're putting our faith in our job to provide for our family instead of the Father of all good gifts. Maybe we're trusting in our own ability and own intelligence to understand and share the gospel rather than abiding in the Spirit of God. Woe is me to forsake such perfect beauty and grace for lies and idols like busyness, politics, food, TV, or self-trusting. The mature demonstrates his understanding in his actions. The mature and spiritual man abides in the power and wisdom of God by the Spirit of God. And finally, what is the mature man's place in the world? The mature demonstrates his own good to a lost world for God's glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Is this verse referring to some sort of gift that God has not yet bestowed upon his children? Yes and no. The unseen, the unheard, and unimaginable treasure that God has prepared for mankind is not just some distant future gift that we will see in heaven. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we should and can live today in joy and glorious satisfaction found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Eternal life doesn't start when we die. We have eternal life in Christ today. The mature does not just make good decisions. The mature does not just read his Bible often. The mature brings glory and honor to the Lord by his public joy and satisfaction in Christ. The mature demonstrates his own good to a lost world for God's glory. The mature understand the gospel. The mature's actions are affected by the gospel. And the mature rejoices in the beauty of the gospel. As we consider who are the spiritual, keep in mind that these are two sides of the same coin. We are called to be both mature or maturing and spiritual. So who are the spiritual? The first subpoint, the spiritual man understands God by the Spirit of God. Read with me, starting in verse 10. These things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now there are truths in this text that are greater than I can comfortably preach to you this morning. So I'm going to proclaim to you the Henry and Carolina truths of this text. Boil these verses down, and what is Paul trying to communicate? First, he is telling us that the Spirit of God knows and searches all things, and especially knows and searches the depths of the mind of God. What better access, then, to the mind and thoughts of God than by the Holy Spirit of God himself? To make things abundantly clear, however, Paul says again that it is not the spirit of the world that restricts man only to his understanding of worldly things, but it is the spiritual man, as Paul defines it, who has the Spirit of God inside of him that he might understand the things of God. We don't trust in our own intellect or understanding. We trust the Holy Spirit of God who understands and knows all things. It is by the Holy Spirit of God alone that we comprehend the truths of God. My schooling and my degrees, if I had 17 doctorates, all of my knowledge of God apart from the Spirit of God would be worth nothing more than fuel for the fires of hell. It is by the Spirit of God alone that we comprehend the truths of God. But on the flip side, you, who are believers, have the Spirit of God inside of you. You can truly know him. You can truly understand him, and you truly have responsibility to seek his face. Now, on that point, I've heard many of you say things like, you can't learn things the same way as, say, Matt. I've heard statements that basically amount to people saying that they are too old of a dog, if you will, to learn new tricks. And maybe the worst of all, either here or there, when I hear people talk about being Southern as if that assumes a level of lack of education. They're a simple man, it's not my culture, he's a good old boy, etc. There's many things wrong with those ideas, but more than any of them combined, I want you to listen to this. I could not care less how old you are, where you are from, or even if you have some sort of legitimate handicap. Because when it's all said and done, what is expected of you has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit's work within you. So, Christian, if you cannot look at your life in the past year and see how you have grown in the Lord, then you need to repent this morning. Because no one is too old or too country or too handicapped to learn more about the beautiful Christ, to seek him with ever more fervor, and to love him with all of your being. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The spiritual man understands God by the Spirit of God, not by his own intellect or his own upbringing or his own work. Let us rejoice over that beauty and mourn over the lack of faith that we have and our lack of abiding in God. The mature and spiritual man abides in the power and wisdom of God by the Spirit of God. And also, the spiritual man speaks the truth of God by the Spirit of God. We impart, verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So now, you can close your eyes, take a deep breath, and start recalling with me the things that we have referred to the past few weeks in 1 Corinthians. Am I preaching before you, as I am preaching before you now, where is my power coming from? As I am preaching before you now, is it because I am dynamic? Am I relevant, authentic, and fun? Do I preach fire and brimstone? Do I keep it real? Is it my clever words? Is it these decorations? No. Any power in my preaching comes from the Spirit of God as I preach Christ crucified. And we impart this not in words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, many of you will never preach before a congregation as I am preaching to you now. Many of you are not gifted in teaching, to teach a Sunday school class, for example. But that doesn't get you off the hook. Have you considered that each and every one of us as believers is taught to or commanded to teach younger men and women? Have you considered that the very preaching of the gospel to a lost soul is speaking spiritual truths, and that the Holy Spirit regenerating them in that moment to bring them new life so that they can become spiritual, to understand those spiritual truths? You don't have to be an apostle or a teacher or a preacher to speak spiritual truths to men and women. Christian, you are commanded to know God, to understand God by the Spirit, and to speak spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The Spirit of God is the giver of truth to the hearts of men. He will give you the words to speak, and he himself will lead you into all truth, Christian. I'm not asking you to teach alone. I am telling you that you are commanded to teach by the power of the Spirit of God. Teaching is not for those who already learned it all. Teaching is for those that have learned one more thing than the person that they are teaching. Abide in God by the Spirit of God, and He will lead you and those that you are teaching into all truth. The spiritual man speaks the truth of God by the Spirit of God. And the spiritual man also discerns all things by the Spirit of God. Read with me starting in verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of God, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So why then do our decisions so often look strikingly similar to the decisions of the natural man? Maybe as individuals we spend less and give more. Maybe we lose money on our house and live in a declining neighborhood as an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe we take the job that pays less but allows us to gather with our brothers and sisters to worship. Maybe we marry the nerdy, goofy-looking guy like Steph did, and she's not in here, that loves Jesus. Maybe you have more children than you dreamed of, or maybe you have less and choose to adopt. Maybe we invite the lost or believers into our homes to serve them out of love. Why is it so often, though, myself included, why do we make decisions that are logical to the natural man when we see here that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God? As a church, are we operating in a way that the natural man understands? Why did you hire Matt? Is it because he's young and had children, or is it because he's a faithful brother who preaches Christ crucified? What is our motivation in members' meetings? Is it to get our own agenda pushed, or is it to lift up the agenda of my brothers and sisters? Is our budget set to serve Cedar View or to worship Jesus? Are our shepherding groups a place to build community or to divide generations? Do we take the Lord's Supper because it is tradition or because we love the opportunity to put on display the wondrous work of Christ on the cross? Cedar View, these questions are healthy to consider, but where do we go from here? How do we not fall into despair as we evaluate our lives and our failings as a church? The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The natural man reads these two verses and sees them as an opportunity to look down on others. The natural man reads these two verses and says, yeah, I get to judge all things and no one can judge me. But is that what they say? Before we go any further, the word judge would be better understood in our context and culture as discern, as is used in the verse before. So if we replace judge with discern, the text reads, the spiritual person discerns all things, but is himself to be discerned by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? The natural man cannot discern or understand the spiritual man, but the spiritual man discerns and understands all things. How is it possible for the spiritual man to discern all things? Because the power and wisdom of God is summed up in the person and work of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the work of Christ has been revealed in his word that we are hearing this morning. So to put all those things together and apply them to Cedarview Baptist Church, if you have an opinion on something and you cannot explain how and why that opinion is rooted, founded, built upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, then that opinion is worthless. In other words, if I ask you how and why you believe something, and your answer is anything other than straight from the Bible in context, then your opinion is worthless. And worthless opinions have no place in the life of the church. We have been given the Spirit, the very mind, and we've been given in the Spirit the very mind of Christ. And with the very mind of Christ, we have been given the Word of God, who is Christ. Who among us, if I told you to hammer a nail, would bloody their hands trying to drive that nail into a wall rather than using the hammer that was provided? Likewise, who among us, when given the Word of God and the Spirit of God, would choose to make any opinions on anything that is founded on our own knowledge, our own understanding, our own tradition, and our own upbringing, or our own intellect, rather than the Word and Spirit of God? The spiritual man discerns all things by the Spirit of God. The mature and spiritual man abides in the power and wisdom of God, which is Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Lean on the power and wisdom of God. Lean on the Spirit of God. Be mature, be spiritual, and abide in the God who has purchased you and is sanctifying you. Christian, Jesus Christ and Christ crucified again are the power and wisdom of God. The mature in Christ demonstrate wisdom in their understanding of the gospel. They demonstrate their understanding in their actions. They demonstrate their own good to the lost world for God's own glory. And the spiritual in Christ understands God by the Spirit of God. They speak the truth of God by the Spirit of God, and they discern all things by the Spirit of God. My encouragement as we close is to remind you that every facet of the Christian life is accomplished by God Himself and not you. Rest easy knowing that the weight and burden of salvation and sanctification does not rest on your shoulders, but on the Lord's. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and He calls out to the weary and heavy laden, come, abandon your burden at the foot of the cross. But my challenge to you this morning as we close is to evaluate your opinions and your convictions. Why do you believe what you believe? Are your politics based in the gospel, or are they based in your upbringing? Are your convictions based in the Bible, or do you have convictions that you hold because that's the way it's always been? Do we trust the Word of God? Do we trust the Spirit of God? Or do we trust the things of this world, the natural man, and the natural wisdom? Pray with me. Gracious Father, after receiving from you grace upon grace and acknowledging our dependence upon your Spirit, we find ourselves constantly returning to our own efforts to construct a goodness in which we may boast. Jesus, friend of sinners, thank you for your faithful holiness and humility. Now we have received from you a righteousness that has nothing to do with our families, our churches, or our performance, but it is a free gift of your ransoming grace. All that we have is you. and you are all we need. Holy Spirit, raise us to new life in Christ so that we may fight against sin with all of the energy that you give us. Amen.